to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say. And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I, anyone, try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shed up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you today in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We got a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day we kind of focus in on counseling, and I can't think of a better counselor to listen to than Miss June Hunt on Hope for the Heart. And so I'm going to get on out of the way and let you listen to Miss June Hunt. She's talking today about breaking the cycle of addiction. Breaking the cycle of addiction.
Hi, Carl. Welcome to Hope.
Hello.
How can we help you?
Well, ma'am, I'm having this battle in my life, an addiction problem to prescription pain medication. Although it hasn't been the worst that it's been in my life, you know, I've gone through this battle for probably the past 10 years. I don't know, I guess it's called like a functioning addict, I guess. And it's just something that I feel like once I just get over this part of my life that I'll be able to really go forward in my life to what God wants me to do, you know?
Yes. So that's your desire?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So you know that there's a payoff. There's a reason why we continue to do something again and again and again when in our minds we say, I don't want to keep doing this. So what is the payoff for you?
I really don't know. I mean, the payoff is certainly not good. I guess I'm just getting so used to kind of doing it. It's like in my everyday life, you know. And I notice that I get these certain times and, you know, I pray. And there's certain scriptures that I really, really cling to, you know, as far as becoming a new creation in Christ, as far as God perfecting His work inside of me. And it just seems like whenever I really pray, I feel that inner strength inside of me, and I'm good. But then it's only for that moment, and then the next day comes, and it's like I don't have that strength. Talking to you about it, it's kind of really bringing it to light how bad it really, really is, you know, because I really don't look at it like I am right now talking with you, that, wow.
Okay, so I need it to do what? Fill in the rest of that.
To socialize, to work, to, I don't know, I guess, to do anything.
Okay.
The need to cope with life has led millions of people down the road of alcohol and drug addiction, a cycle that results in broken families, broken hearts, and broken lives. Carl has experienced the brokenness that comes with addiction and has reached out to June for help breaking the cycle. What June shares with Carl could help anyone with addiction. Let's continue with this conversation.
The first time you started using was when and why?
Well, the first time was about 16 years old. I don't know what really caused me or made me do it, but the wild part is growing up, you know, went to church and was a good kid. And then I moved from a certain area, and I moved to a different area and had to kind of restart my life. That was kind of hard on me. Mm. Before I moved, I didn't know what alcohol tasted like. I didn't know what marijuana was. I didn't know anything. All I was about sports and going to church, being around the right kind of people. But when I moved, it was whenever I was transitioning into high school. Mm-hmm. And then it was real hard on me to want to make that transition, and I ended up getting around some people and getting, you know, more influenced by their behaviors, and so I started kind of going more their direction and left the good lifestyle I was living. But back to your mm-hmm. question about when I first started, my mom hurt herself, and it must have been brought up to me or talked about to me, that pain medication to make you feel good or something, and I just went in my mom's purse one day, and I grabbed a couple of them out of her purse, and next day I took them, I went to school, and that was my first experience with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you mentioned you were in a really good environment, and then you had to move, then you had a different social group, I want you to think of this. Imagine a school desk, and somebody standing on top of the school desk, and you're on the floor. Now, if you were to get a good grip, both of you, the guy on top and the guy down at the bottom, if you pull really hard, is it easier for you to be pulled up there on top with him, or is it easier for you to pull him down?
I'm going to say probably easier to pull him down.
Yeah. We have to be really, really careful, because the Bible says bad company corrupts good character.
Yes.
And so this is why you have to be so careful, because we can be impressionable at certain ages especially. And yeah, it's so much easier to be pulled down. And that's why it is vital to be able to have a focus of, well, what do you want your life to stand for?
Jen, I'm living this double life, you know. Nobody around me knows what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Everybody around me, you know, looks at me as kind of like a rock, so to speak, you know. Mm-hmm. I got my sister. She's struggling with the same problem I am. And she's calling me up, you know, how did you beat this? How did you do this? I give her words of encouragement, and I tell her it's going to be hard, but she can do it. And then I get off the phone, and I feel terrible, you know, because sitting over here talking to my sister, and here it is, I'm living this double life.
Mm-hmm.
So terrible.
Well, God knows that, and God knows also the potential. And so we're going to talk about, why do people stay addicted when in their heads they don't want to do it, even when people get free of the chemical addiction? You know, you go through whatever's necessary, and so it's out of your system. You can still be emotionally addicted, and then it's so easy to start back again. So we need to deal with that, because I'm hearing you want to be a role model. You really do care.
Yeah.
So I'm glad, because there is great hope for you. Realize there are thousands and thousands of thousands of people every single year who kick the habit and they become free. Now, I'm hearing you really wanting to be the person that you are perceived by others to be. You don't like living a double life.
No, ma'am.
So I'm going to pose something to you that is the case for so many people in this situation, and that is whenever there has been pain in the past, sometimes what's happening is I'm taking it because it helps me deal with the past. It's like I don't like what went on in the past, and so it either numbs the pain or gives me a high. They like the way the drug makes them feel because it is mood altering. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Especially with the whole numbing reality, so to speak.
Uh-huh. See, I told you, it's doing something. There's a payoff. It changes the way you feel regarding the pain of the past. It numbs the pain.
This is Hope for the Heart, and you're listening to a conversation with June Hunt and Carl. Now, if you've just joined us, Carl called June on our late-night program, Hope in the Night. He was looking for help with his addiction to prescription pain medication. June talks with Carl about breaking this cycle of addiction, so don't go away. And if this broadcast is stirring up questions for you, call and talk with someone in our Hope Care Center. That number is 800-488-HOPE. Now let's get back to June and Carl.
I just appreciate that you want to change. And we'll talk about why you get stuck, but I'm going to emphasize that any cycle can be broken. Any addiction can be broken. It's just going to require replacing a bad habit with a good habit.
Yes.
Now, tell me, what was so painful from the past?
Well, June, I've had to endure a lot of different painful issues in my life. They're all very different things, but very extreme. I've lost a really best friend that had my life. I went through about 7 years with my kid's mother, you know, just terrible things, mainly because of me. But the past few years, roles kind of reversed, and I did suffer a lot of pain, and I just got out of prison back in November for DWIs under the influence of medication. I went through the whole prison process, and, you know, that's like a safe haven for me, at least, because, you know, I was confined, and I did not have all the temptations or the influences around to be able to get into that. So to be strong in there was very easy for me. To be the light in there was very easy for me. To be able to get involved in Celebrate Recovery, and I was a facilitator in the class, and I was teaching other grown men, you know. And I really thought when I got out this time, this was it, you know. I've been set free, and I'm good. But I got home and things were great, and it took a while for me to get a job, but the Lord finally blessed me with a very good job, and I'm enrolled in school for my bachelor's program.
Great.
I'm about to start this real estate license ordeal. I went and interviewed with the company, and they're helping me out, so I got a full plate. I'm making positive steps towards my future and for my kids and for my life. That's why I really don't know what has caused me to go back to the lifestyle I used to live, you know? Like, the Bible says, a dog returning to its vomit. It's just, I can't believe it. It's like I'm doing that. And now I'm so far into it that I feel like I'm on the borderline. Like, I'm right there to finally being free and breaking off the chains, and at the same time, it still got me. So when you talk about, you know, what is the pain that's in your life that's causing you to may want to go back to this, I don't know if it's a big-time pain issue, but you did talk about how it numbs reality, so to speak, and I guess I'm doing this to kind of numb some, I guess, stresses in my life or some reality, but I just don't know why. I mean,
well, when you had been in prison, and by the way, you described exactly as I've had other people who've been in prison. Think about one guy in particular, just a wonderful guy. He came to Christ, totally changed life, and then yet he got out, and after a while, he started using again, and he just couldn't believe it, because for 3 years, he was free. And he said, I couldn't believe, he said it was so easy in prison. And he was the assistant to the chaplain. And it was just great. He said, I had no idea how hard it would be in the real world. He said, because you're like in a cocoon when you're in prison. Not that you can't get it. Not that you can't use. But what your experience is not uncommon. And I will tell you this. I've talked to a number of people in prison ministry, people who are professionally involved, and they'll say, June, it's not unusual for there to be someone who is almost like a poster child in terms of poster testimony, and then all of a sudden they'll fall once or twice because they think they can go back to doing what they used to do, and they feel impervious. They feel, well, that's not going to happen to me again because I've changed. But they start going back doing the things they did before. So in this case, what you have to do is to know your enemy. Your enemy is the pattern you used to have, and it's evaluating, okay, I've got to have a different purpose. And I'm going to quote a scripture that you will know. It's Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man. But in the end, it leads to what?
Destruction.
Yeah. So what you don't want is destruction. You don't want death. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Because what happens is once you start using the mood-altering drugs to change how you feel, well, then it turns into the addiction. And see, this is what you know Jesus would give you victory over. Because you know what he is about. Jesus came to forgive our sin and to empower us to live differently. So since you know that, the violating the values is what's going to make you feel worse. And so this is the cycle. You have guilt, and guilt leads to shame. I did bad. I am bad. So then to alleviate that pain, you go back to the drugs because it takes that edge off the pain of the shame. Now, instead of your purpose being to feel better, I'm going to give you a different purpose.
This is Hope for the Heart with June Hunt. We'll hear about this different purpose in just a minute, so don't go away. I do want you to know that if you're stuck in the cycle of addiction or alcoholism, there is hope. Call and talk with one of the folks in our Hope Care Center. That number is 800-488-HOPE, or go to hopefortheheart.org. Now, this also applies to those who love someone who's addicted to alcohol or drugs. You are not alone. Now for that life-changing purpose, let's go back to June and Carl.
There are three P's, a new purpose, a new priority, and a new plan. Now, the new purpose is this, Romans 8:29, you are predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. You are predestined to be conformed to the character of Christ. So let me ask you, if you really did focus on, no matter what, this is my priority, and you commit every time you're tempted to say, my new purpose is not to feel better, my new purpose is to be conformed to the character of Christ. If you were conformed to the character of Christ, would you still be using?
Absolutely not.
Okay. So the first target is going to be a new purpose. And you're going to say, I'll do whatever it takes to be conformed to the character of Christ. Repeat that after me. I'll do whatever it takes.
I'll do whatever it takes.
To be conformed to the character of Christ.
To be conformed to the character of Christ.
Okay. So next time you're strongly tempted, you're going to say what?
I'll do whatever it takes to be conformed to the character of Christ.
Okay.
You're pumping me up, Jane.
Hey, listen, I can tell that you want and respond to a biblical challenge. This is what God says. This isn't me. It's not June. It is what God says. Number two is a new priority. The new priority is I'll do whatever it takes to line up my thinking with God's thinking. I want you to say that.
I'll do whatever it takes to line up my thinking with
and the reason you want to do that is because Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your
mind.
Your mind. So what you think about, what you dwell on, is going to make all the difference in the world. You're wanting transformation.
Yes.
You're not just wanting information. You're wanting transformation.
Yes.
So what you do, you say, well, what is God's thinking? Well, 2 Peter 2:19 says a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've experienced that. You don't want that.
Yeah.
So you're saying, okay, wait a minute. I need my master to be Jesus. I want him to have mastery over me. Now, is that your heart?
Oh, yes.
Okay, because see, if he is your master, then you're living for him, doing what he wants you to do, and he's the one who has the power to change you inside out. Colossians 1:27 says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes.
You may say, look, I've tried this before. I mean, I've tried a lot of times. I prayed. I've cried. Now, have you done all those things?
Oh, yeah. More times than I can count.
Yeah. And yet, right now, you're not drug-free. But it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory means you're reflecting who God is. And obviously, if you have Christ in you, he's going to conform you to his character.
Yes.
The Bible even says that Jesus was tempted in all areas.
Yes.
Yet was without sin. Well, you have Christ in you. Realize the power source you've got on the inside. It's incredible. Now, I told you there are going to be three P's. New purpose. Number two, new priority. Number three, a new plan. So the moment there's the temptation, you go, I'll do whatever it takes to be conformed to the character of Christ. Jesus, when you start looking at what did he do, he set his eyes on what he knew he was going to have to go through, and that was literally to go through the crucifixion.
So in other words, Jesus, he knew what he was about to face,
mm-hmm.
and he saw it. I need to, in a way, look in the future as it's going to happen,
yep.
and what do I do from there?
Excellent. Okay. Because really, the truth is, you're being called to be Christ-like.
Yes.
That's what Romans 8:29 is about. You are predestined to be conformed to the character of Christ.
That's awesome stuff.
There are two scriptures I'm going to give you. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is the one who calls you, and he will do it. See, whatever he calls you to do, he'll equip you to do it. It's extraordinary. Now listen to this. This is so neat. Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart. I'll remove from you your heart of stone.
Give you a heart of flesh?
Yeah, because if he's going to give you a heart of flesh, he's saying, look, I know about what your temptation is. He says, I will give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. And by the way, that is the spirit of Christ. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. This is the important part. I will put my spirit in you and cause you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Notice, you're not the mover. You're not the causer of the change. You know what he wants from you? For you to be dependent on him. Now, you've been dependent on a drug. You need to change dependence. You've got to say, all right, look, I am ready now. I am ready to go to war over this.
Yes.
I am going to have victory. So you've got to have a long-term view.
We'll hear June's closing encouragement for Carl in just a minute. This is listener-supported Hope for the Heart with June Hunt. Can you hear how Carl is connecting with God's truth and how he can apply this to his life? There is hope, no matter what you're going through. Call and talk with one of the men or women in our Hope Care Center. That number is 800-488-HOPE. There's no judgment, just a caring heart, ready to listen, and even share some spiritual guidance in prayer. You can also visit hopefortheheart.org. One more thing I want to mention, then we'll get back to June, and that's our new series of 6 Bible studies based on some of the same life challenges we talk about on this program. One of these studies is about anger. It's called Dealing with Anger, Facing the Fire Within. For a limited time, we're offering you a free download of the first session of this study. Just go to hopefortheheart.org/study. Now we turn our attention back to June's conversation with Carl.
A person who gets victory doesn't look at the immediate. You look at what is it that God has for you to accomplish. And He is the one who has called you to victory. Faithful is the one who calls you, and He will do it. So He's already said, look, my friend, I'm ready. I am ready to empower you. I just need you to be willing and for you to be faithful.
Yeah.
And, you know, the passage, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation that you could experience but is common to man. It's common to us all. But God is faithful, who will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but will, with that temptation, make a way of escape that you can stand up under it. So you have number one, the new purpose. I'll do whatever it takes to be conformed to the character of Christ. Number two, new priority. I'll do whatever it takes to line up my thinking with God's thinking. Number three, a new plan. The plan is I'll do whatever it takes to work in His strength, not my strength. And that means it's not behavior modification. It is, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So it'll be step by step. I'm going to start out saying, all right, I will have victory. It won't be my victory. It'll be Christ's victory. So how are you feeling right now?
I'm very hopeful. I'm feeling very blessed, and I'm very thankful, Jim.
Well, I'm proud of you. You continue to hang on to hope.
And June...
All right. That was Miss June Hunt, just a great counselor, giving good godly advice. And more than anything, she gave that man some hope. All right, that's it for today. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.